It's late at night and you hear a knock at your front door. Fighting a sense of dread, you answer it to find a pair of children. They're dressed in ill-fitting clothes, their heads are down. And for some reason, they fill you with a sense of dread that you can't explain. One of them explains that playtime is over and they need to call their parents. Could they please use your telegraph? For some reason, you're afraid of these strange children, but they're kids. You gotta help them, right? While you hesitate, the child at your doorstep, he grows more insistent, more angry, more demanding, finally yelling they can't come in unless you invite them. Now you're terrified. And despite this terror, you still find yourself somehow being compelled to let them in. The children finally raise their heads to look at you, and their eyes are completely black. No white showing, just an inky void. Well, this breaks the spell, and your heart pounding, you slam the door. As your panic decreases, you begin to feel guilty. And you look out the window only to find they have simply vanished. You have just had an encounter with the enigmatic black-eyed children. Be very thankful that you did not let them in. I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here. This week on the Odd Files, I have a pair of odd tales about trying to game the system, straight out of the Fortean Times book of bizarre behavior. This first one's called Flea Market. In 1995, in Bulgaria, school authorities were taking action to stop a thriving trade in fleas, which had sprung up among school children. The insects were changing hands at the rate of 50 pence each because under education regulations, pupils with flea infestations have to take 3 days off school. Your kid, school sucks. I'm not sure it's worth a flea infestation, but yep, there you go. Working the system at an early age. This next one's called Just for Laughs, and it happened in 1994. Comedian Franco Milano was determined that to make sure his performance was a hit at his comedy club in Verona, Italy, he decided to leave nothing to chance, but was arrested by police after pumping laughing gas around the audience during the show. That's one way to do it. Yeah, don't have to worry about your material that way, I guess. Anyway, a couple of stories about trying to game the system. Now, we're just going to jump right into it this week. I'm pretty excited about this one. It is a horror classic. We're going to talk about the black-eyed children. Paul was a guard at a Midwest prison. He stood around 6'3 and had the build of a linebacker. A military veteran who lifted weights regularly and practiced martial arts. In short, Paul was a tough man who had seen a lot. His wife and son were out of town for a few days, and he found himself alone in the house one night when he heard a light knock at the door. At first, he wasn't sure it was a knock, but then it got louder and more insistent. He thought it was strange that whoever it was at the door didn't just ring the doorbell, and he peeked out the side window and saw a pair of young boys on the porch. He reckoned their age to be around 12 or 14 years, somewhere in there, and they were both wearing hoodies. One hoodie was brown and one was gray. The boy in the brown hoodie stood slightly behind the boy in the gray hoodie, and they stood there silently with their heads down. He didn't recognize them from around the neighborhood, and he asked the pair, "Can I help you?" The boy in gray responded, "Hey, we just wanted to stop in for a bit." Well, Paul was confused by this. He knew they weren't friends of his son because, well, he knew all his son's friends. "Do I know you guys? I think maybe you got the wrong house." After a moment, the boy said, "Oh, well, it's getting kind of late. Can we come in for a bit?" Paul noted that the hair on the back of his neck started to stand on end. I mean, what kids would show up at a stranger's house and ask to come in? Alarm bells began going off, and Paul began to look at the kids more closely, and that's when he noticed their eyes were completely black. He said, "There is no white of the eye. It is their natural eyes that I saw." The lead boy stared at Paul and said in an insistent and threatening voice, "It would be good if you just let us come in now. You don't have to think about it. Just open the door and ask us in." Paul felt, quote, rooted to the spot like he couldn't move. He felt a little dizzy and had a kind of numb feeling and he couldn't think straight. And he started thinking he should just let them in after all. I mean, they're just a couple of kids. The strange child said, "It's okay. This won't take long." That statement engaged his fight or fly response and broke the spell. Although he was much, much bigger than the duo at his door, his response was flight. He slammed the door shut, shutting out them to get off of his porch. It felt like he had to hold the door shut. He could feel their all-black eyes boring straight through the door and looking at him. Then he heard the knock. Quote, "A long, steady knock. Soft at first, just like it was to begin with. Those damn boys still wanted in." He said, "I realized I've been squeezing my eyes shut. I opened them and looked around the room. It's like I didn't know what to do. I think I fought the urge to run at that point. My brain was telling me it was my house and I wasn't running from those kids, but another part of me just wanted to hide." He slowly backed away from the front door. The knocking stopped. He turned around halfway through the room and saw the kid at the side window staring at him with those hellish eyes. He made eye contact, and the kid raised a hand, tapping on the glass. Paul said, "I'd had enough. No one was going to invade my home or make me feel afraid like that. I ran into the bedroom and retrieved my pistol from the nightstand. I was determined to scare these punk kids off my property." He slapped a magazine in the gun and ran into the living room, threw open the door, and ran out onto the porch. The kids were gone. I read about Paul's account in David Weatherly's excellent book, Black Eyed Children. The story of the Black Eyed Children, it burst onto the scene, burst onto the radar in 1998 when a journalist named Brian Bethel wrote of his own encounter on an internet bulletin board. His encounter with these enigmatic beings was in Abilene, Texas. He is dropping off a check at the night box for his internet provider, and he parked under some streetlights so he could see to write the check. It was around 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, and there came a knock on the driver's side window. They looked to him to be a pair of average kids between 10 and 14. They were dressed normally. One had kind of an olive skin complexion and dark hair. The other was pale skin with red hair. And despite this, he had an unexplainable, uneasy feeling. He cracked his window and asked what they wanted. And he felt a sense of panic and confusion come over him. The boys said they wanted to watch a movie, but they left their money at home and wanted him to drive them home to get the money. And he recalls that Mortal Kombat was playing across the street, but it was already an hour past the time on the marquee. Brian was hesitant. His lack of a timely response seemed to agitate the young man. He said, "Come on, mister. No, we just want to go to our house, and we're just two little boys." You know, Bethel pointed out the movie was half over, and by the time they got back, it would likely be completely over. The boy responded more insistently, "Come on, mister, let us in. We can't get into your car until you let us, you know. Just let us in, we'll be gone before you know it." That's when Bethel noticed their eyes. They were coal black, no irises, just two staring orbs, reflecting the red and white of the marquee. Well, this broke the spell, and he peeled tires and got the hell out of there. But when he looked in the rear view, the parking lot was empty. The boys were gone. This was not the first sighting, not the first account, but the first widely reported. Remember, this is, you know, the internet was still in its infancy. And he put it on a bulletin board, if you can remember those. So this is the first widespread report. And that's the main one. Many can, you know, consider it the origin of the story. But, you know, people have later reported sightings before this, but this is after the fact. And I'm always a little leery. I mean, just because you say you've seen it before, unless you actually, you know, reported it before, then I don't know. It's problematic a little bit. But, you know, like this was the early internet. This is how stories got around. And you got to wonder, was this just a man trying to create an early internet hoax? I mean, it got around, it got viral for the day. Was that his goal, or you know, was it just a writer just plying his trade, trying to write a spooky story? And you know, that's a writer, it's what he does. But he says it's true, and he's maintained that it's true. and I believe him. You know, I remember hearing about a woman in Iowa who's driving home in her new SUV with her son. He was in the back seat in the car seat, and she stopped off at a convenience store to buy a gallon of milk. And she was only going to be a couple of minutes. Like I said, she's going to pop in, buy a gallon of milk, pop out, small Iowa town, no big deal. So she left her son in the vehicle. Once she goes in, she buys her milk. She does her thing. And then she goes back to the car, you know, opens the door, throws the sack in the passenger seat. And when she looks back into the back seat, she was shocked to see another child from the back seat with her son. And her son proceeded to tell her that he's coming to our house to play with me. You know, he's excited. Eh, made a new friend. And the strange kid raised his head. You guessed it. His eyes were just inky voids. So she grabbed her kid and she ran into the store. And, you know, she felt kind of silly. There no reason to evoke a fear response. You know, normally you just say, oh, I'm sorry you can't come to the house right now. Where's your parents at? What's the deal? But no, she ganked her kid out of the car and ran into the store. And she told the clerk what was going on. But when he looked out, the car was empty. And she wasn't getting back in that car. She wasn't getting back in that SUV. So she called her husband. And he drove his truck there, and she got in the truck and drove his truck home, and he drove the SUV home. And on the way home, he wrecked the SUV and totaled it and was severely injured. And the child started suffering just an array of illnesses and symptoms that made it impossible to diagnose. He'd have something, and then it would change. And this went on for about 6 months, and then he got better. I suppose the two things could be unrelated, but I mean, seems kind of suspicious, right? That's one of the things that can happen when you let them in. Nothing good anyway. So, you know what? Regardless of their psychic vampire demon powers, those regular kids are scary if you ask me. I mean, every generation it has a fear of the young people, the new generation. It goes, you know, back in Hollywood and, you know, the 50s, Rebel Without a Cause, and up and beyond through all the ages, they all have their own, you know, like, oh, the punks these days type things. And there's just a little fear in general of the new generation. And especially now, like the smaller children, like, you know, 10 to 12 or whatever, they're scary because, I mean, like, even the mouthy ones, you can't smack them anymore. And, like, they can say whatever they want or do whatever they want. Like, what are you going to do about it, mister? Like, well, like, I guess nothing. Kind of sucks. And so you're kind of powerless with kids anyway. And I don't know, to be honest, at my age with my time in the service and all the parts that don't work, you know, I hate to admit it, but a pack of 15-year-olds could probably whip my ass these days. So that's kind of scary, too. But yeah, these kids are obviously extra scary. And you know, let's look at some of the things that we see on the reports here. Clearly, they have psychic abilities. They can give you a fear response when none is warranted. And they can compel you to let them in, even though you're like, no, there's still a part of them in most of these stories where they're like, yeah, oh, I thought maybe I should let them in, even though I was scared to death. So it seemed to have some kind of a psychic power off you. And they never get physical or violent, and they never force their way in. And they really, everything they do it seems designed to be off-putting. They always wear clothes that aren't quite right. A lot of times they say bizarre words, like in the opening, instead of telephone, they'll say telegraph, just things to weird you out to begin with. And the way they knock on the door and the way they raise their insistence and their hostility and their voice, it seems all strategy to evoke a fear response. So do they feed off your fear, or are they trying to get that fear response to get that energy? And then there's the vampire connection is you start thinking of what these things could be. The main thing about that is because, you know, they need to be invited in. They're very clear like that. They can't force their way into your house, into your car. You have to let them in. And so there's a vampire, you know, connection there. Plus, I don't think they feed off your blood, but they seem to drain you and to feed off your health, certainly. Another theory on what they can be is alien hybrids. I suppose because the large black eyes would make you think that aliens have those inky black eyes as well. So that's another theory on what they could be. And of course, demons, a lot of people think that they could also be that. And when I think of the demon connection and when I think of their black eyes, I think of the best way to picture it is the show Supernatural. The demons have the inky black eyes. But also because, you know, I don't see any good experiences with these little punks. And this little complete lack of good would, you know, certainly make you think evil, which would lead to the demon connection. But, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about any of it, really. Jinn, I mean, they could be that too. I think they're just their own entity. I don't know if we can classify them as anything else, or maybe they're part of the Fae. I do think maybe they feed off your fear, if they feed off your energy. I don't know, man. They're weird, so, and they're scary. Like I said, kids are scary anyway. And, they're probably not really kids. They probably just assume kids because that's we're programmed to help a child in need. And so maybe they come as the least threatening thing that they can. And they've said several times in these accounts, come on, we're just two little kids. We can't hurt you. Let us in. Could it be hoaxes? Of course. And, you know, today you can go buy all black contacts, not very comfortable, and I'm not sure what the upside of scaring people with that is, but the first confirmed report happened, well, it was reported in 1998, he said it happened in 1996, and these kind of contacts were not readily available then. They were super expensive, and it's not like today, so I don't think kids would be spending the money and going through the pain and effort just to mess with people. There's a lot better and easier ways to do it. So I don't think people are hoaxing, but could people be saying the stories as hoaxes? And, you know, of course, that's obviously possible. Like, take a double, there's no upside to it. Well, you get the attention, and that's not always nice, right? And the problem with it is these stories are very formulaic. 2 to 3 kids, usually. Ill-fitting clothes, they say weird things, they ramp up, they get bizarre, they have all black eyes, they, you know, beg to be let in, they say strange things. It's a formula. You can go step by step, which is problematic. Anybody can fake one of these stories easily if they wanted to, and I'm sure, you know, if you the internet posts, of course, your people are going to, but it's very easy to fake it. But so that's problematic, but I kind of think they're out there. I don't know about you guys. And they are quite terrifying. Here's another account. And this one's kind of interesting, a little different than the other two. It was late at night, and John was traveling across Texas in an isolated area with a long stretch of empty road and nothing to either side of him. He pulled over and walked a few steps into the desert night to relieve himself. After he finished his business, he stood there for about 5 minutes, just stretching, working out the kinks in his back and enjoying the cool night air. And when he walked back to his truck, he reached out for the driver's side door and he saw a child standing just past the door, which totally startled him, of course. You know, where did this kid come from, number one? But just, boom, he's there. And he said the kid was wearing an oversized white shirt and what appeared to be hand-me-down pants. I don't know how he knew the pants were hand-me-down. I suppose because they're probably ill-fitting, like you get your bigger brother's pants and they're a little too big for you until you grow into them. He said he had dark hair, and naturally his head was lowered, ducked down. And John said, "Geez, kid, you scared the hell out of me." And the child responded, "I want to get in the truck." And John's mind raced and a chill traveled up his spine. He scanned the empty landscape for any sign of a house, a farmhouse, something, but there was nothing. There was no houses around. There's no neighborhoods. And while he's looking around, the boy repeated, "I want to get in your truck." Well, John felt all his hairs stand on end and had a bad feeling in his gut. But this is just a kid, he thought to himself. It's nothing to worry about. But make no mistake, even though his rational mind told him that, he was scared. He forced himself to smile and said, "Do you live around here, kid?" The kid responded, "Just let me get in your truck. We can go for a ride." He's scared. He's confused. This whole situation is bizarre. And John said, "You need a ride home? Where do you live?" The kid replied, "We can get in your truck now. It won't take long." And he really began to panic now. The panic began to rise. It began to build. And John, he felt the urge to run. "Just open the door and tell me to get in. We'll have a short ride." He started to feel dizzy, like he had been punched, like he was shaking off a blow to the head. He wanted to run, leave the kid and even his truck behind. He just needed to get out of there. And that's when the kid looked up at him with those coal black eyes. And John said, "I don't think so, kid." He opened the door just enough to squeeze in, fired it up, mashed the gas, and tore out of there. And when he looked back in the rearview mirror, the strange kid was gone. This kind of interesting because, number one, it wasn't a pair. It was just one black-eyed kid in the middle of an empty highway. Isolated houses and stuff like that, sure, but he had just pulled over. So why? How would the kid know that he was there? It's kind of a strange one, but it still follows the formula. And, this is a weird subject, and kind of love it for that. So, black-eyed children, don't let them in, man. And let me know what you think. And if you like this episode, please like, subscribe, ring the bell so you get all the updates in the future. And watch out for the black-eyed children. Have a great week, but be careful because it can get dark out there.